Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the podcast series How to Set Up a 100 Crore Company with Ratish Nair. I'm your host, Dr. Aman Kapoor, and I welcome you back to this episode of the series. So Ratish, welcome back. In today's episode, we are going to talk about risk taking, risk mitigation. So first question, Ratish, when it comes to handling your own business or startup, what is the difference between risk management and risk mitigation?
Correct. Thanks, Aman, for asking this question. Risk is something which is inevitable for any entrepreneur. It's like, you know, your friend or your foe. Risk plays a dual role. Foe because obviously it destroys your business, but friend because, you know, when you manage your risk, when you overcome the limitation of risk, and that's where the success lies. But this is an excellent question because a lot of people confuse between risk mitigation and risk management. Risk mitigation is part of risk management. So there are a lot of, like in risk management, there is also avoiding risk many more aspects are there in the risk management, primarily risk mitigation and avoidance. But obviously, you can't avoid risk. So risk mitigation becomes a more important topic to talk about. And risk mitigation basically means to be ready for things that can go wrong, because the fact is that things will go wrong, right? That's what the practical aspect of risk is. Things will happen where you didn't expect that is going to happen. So you prepare for such a situation. You prepare for things that you know are going to happen, may happen. So you are keeping things ready for that. You are also keeping things ready for something that you may not even have thought of. So that is what risk mitigation is. And a lot of times people ask me that, what is the biggest thing that you have to do in risk mitigation? Probably the first thing is what is called as risk acceptance. People do not sometimes even want to accept that there is a risk in that particular business line or in that product line. I mean, entrepreneurs sometimes fall in love with their product so much that probably they turn a blind eye towards some small fault on their product or some kind of side effect that they might have. So, well, it's not wrong to fall in love, but probably you have to be sure that probably if things go wrong, if things go south, then what are you going to do? The things that probably will help you to mitigate risk is market research. That's the first most important thing to get into. You have to validate the need of that particular product. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, obviously, which is finance, right? Money. Even you as a entrepreneur or even people who are listening, risk means money. Most of the time, it's risk means money. Although I don't agree, the first biggest risk is opportunity. Opportunity is most costlier than money, which we'll talk in another episode or so, that how opportunities are costlier than money. But I would say that in the second aspect, how to mitigate risk, you have to do a thorough financial planning. Financial planning is probably, if you're not from financial background, the simple thing to do is manage your cash flow. That anybody can do, even probably a simple graduate can do. Ki jitna paisa aaya, usse kam hi kharcha karna hai. Correct. So, and then you have to create some financial buffer or emergency fund. The third part of risk mitigation is diversify yourself. I'm sure you must have heard this now a couple of times in your stock market investment and mutual fund. The key idea is diversification. So yeah, diversification is the key in terms of spreading your product. Like B2B product, then you have to spread it across different customers. you have to spread your business into different services. You can't stick to one product, you can't stick to one customer line, you have to create different line of business, LOBs, etc., etc. The fourth type of risk mitigation, Aman, is the most important one, which most of us ignore and which they fall into this trap, is legal and compliance. Never does a entrepreneur think about legal and compliance the first time that he wants to set up a business, because the adrenaline is so high, the zeal is so high, that they don't want to check on with the compliance regulations, etc. So that is probably the fourth part. And then probably there are things like, which is building a strong team, customer feedback, network risk, etc., etc. But that are probably the small time risk. But these are the four types of risk that probably you would like to mitigate in your near future.
So what steps have you taken to mitigate this risk? Can you give us some specific examples from your own your business experience in your own organization? What have you done?
Right. So basically, as you know, that we are a B2B business, and I'll start from where I diversified myself. So the moment our first product was closed with a particular company, our first company that we closed was Cigna. The moment we knew that this product line is going to work in insurance company, the first thing that we did was to set up a proper sales team who would focus on an insurance line of business. And then we focused ourselves into a different line of business. So we started with pharma, labs, hospitals. The moment we realized that, customer engagement is a backend in insurance, and the same backend can be used for other line of business also, we started to diversify so that our risk towards one particular sector gets lower, which is a logical sense. The other thing is that we read our law in depth. So to tell you a story, that how did we find our first client as Cigna? It's basically when we keep ourselves updated on what are the laws that are passed by the government at a particular point of time. And we were reading this IRDA site, and we came to know about, there was a circular in November 2015 about how wellness has been introduced into the insurance market. So frankly, just by browsing, we read that particular notification that IRDA had come. And then we started, here is an opportunity for us to talk to an insurance company based on this notification. And that was relatively new. And we were earlier into health. We had set up the technology around health. This particular notification is something that helped us to get in touch with insurance company. So as I told you, legal and compliance are something that probably will help you to get business also. Because if you understand some part of a legal thing very nicely, and then you get the crux out of it, and then you can develop product and give to the company. The third thing that we did very beautifully was obviously financial planning. When we raised our first round, we decided that probably half of it would be towards expansion. Half of it has to be in your bank account, probably lying idle. I mean, investors might not be happy with that, but it does create that lesser stress in your entrepreneur's mind, that I can take a larger leap because there is money lying in my bank. If the bucket has a bigger hole than what it can fill in, you can never be sure what is going to happen next. So obviously you need to have a kind of a buffer behind your back, which tells you that if anything goes south, then you have a breather for next one and a half year. And in 1.5 years, you'll do something right to come out. So that's what we did in our journey.
Super. Now, you have mentioned quite an important few points. Now, there comes a mindset that we started discussing with, is the mindset of whether to take a risk or not. Yeah. Because some people are really averse. They want to play it very safe. And on the other hand, there are people who are really prone to taking a massive amount of risk. So the question comes over here is, how much risk should one take? What defines the quantum of risk-taking appetite of a person?
Okay. So See, obviously, this is a very personal question because everybody's quantum is different, and different people take, and it largely defines that what kind of background do you come from, right? What kind of inning is this? Your first inning, is this your second inning as an entrepreneur? Lot of other aspects. But let me tell you on a general thumb rule level. And this is very personal, as I told you, because you will take different risk, I'll take different risk. Here Vishal is there with me. Vishal will take a different risk. Okay, so every entrepreneur has a risk tolerance. Calculate your risk tolerance. For example, Aman, you will calculate your risk tolerance because you have a daughter studying probably class 10th or something like that, and then you have an EMI to pay, and you don't have anybody else other than you working. So your risk tolerance would be probably lesser than Vishal, who is young here. His wife is working, no children. So he would be having higher risk. So first is risk tolerance, which helps you decide what is the quantum of risk that you want to take. Then second is like the experience. Vishal is young, we people are a bit old. So that also defines us. How much time do we have? You know, the larger the time, the greater the risk that we can take, right? Third is the industry dynamics. What are you getting into? Let's say you are trying to start a food chain today. Obviously, a big risk that you want to take. But let's say Dr. Aman has developed a product which he has done with his innovative brain. Obviously, you don't have to take much higher risk because your product itself is very innovative and unique. Why should you take a risk then again? Okay. Then is your business stage. For example, you are, as you set up your business, your risk tolerance, you have to reduce, and obviously it gets reduced also because of the business changes. Then I think lastly, it would be market conditions. See, when sometimes if let's say your product is doing extremely well, there will be a demand in the market. At that time, probably you take a higher risk and jump and seize that opportunity. And when you see that, oh, market is sluggish, in like what is happening in US, probably then you will tone down your risk and would want to stay afloat, right? So that's what probably we also did, and that's how you measure the quantum of risk that you take.
Going from this, what about intuition? People say that, you know, I have my sixth senses. What does intuition play a role over here?
No, you're absolutely right. Intuition is the biggest probably contributor of, calculating your risk. Intuition is what makes an entrepreneur, right? Only thing is that it starts with I, but other than that, it's intuition should be, I think, should be spelled from E, because there is no other synonym to entrepreneurship than intuition, the gut feeling. Every entrepreneur goes through his gut feeling, but that gut feeling would have some kind of science behind it, some kind of study behind it. So that's basically probably what I would say risk taking would be. You have to create a case study in your mind when you try to think, or when you try to innovate, or when you try to judge. You have to create a case study behind you have to rerun, like, you know, the AI runs a program, you have to run it in your brain, and once you get an answer, which is your intuition, you then blindly follow that particular faith. But yeah, intuition plays a very big role in taking risk.
Great. So we have discussed various different points about risk. Now, as an entrepreneur, once you identify a risk, you take some steps to mitigate the risk. There also important part about risk is that, you know, how do you communicate risks to your stakeholders, your investors, your team partners, your etc., all the people who are stakeholders in your business.
Absolutely.
How do you communicate this to them?
So I would want probably listeners to be paying special attention here, because this is the most important question in probably that you had asked, Aman. People try to hide the risk. Do not run away or hide your risk. Discuss your risk. Convey it with utmost honesty and clarity to all the stakeholders. And you know why? Because if there is a risk, there is a return. If there is a risk, there is a downfall. So, conceptualize the risk, explain it using a broader industry, market, or economic context. Make people understand with proper positioning. Create risk mitigation strategy around it. I mean, you don't have to just tell the problem to your stakeholders. Tell them that these are the solutions that I'm taking. These are the insurance that I'm trying to build it. Once you convey it, keep a regular update also on that. So you can't just say that, okay, I was doing this, there is a risk here, and after 6 months say that, okay, problem solved. No, you keep updating them. Give them a regular update that what did you do? See, investors or stakeholders are more not concerned about the risk. They are concerned about how you play the risk. What are you doing to overcome the risk? That's what defines you, right? Document this. That is also very important. Documentation is also very important. Lastly, I think the most important aspect would be a kind of a common democratic decision that you take. Don't put the call onto one person's head. I mean, as a CEO or an MD, also I would say that I would like to, you know, take okay from everybody, and that's what matters. That's all.
So, fantastic insights, Ratish. Before we end our today's episode, I'm sure the listeners who are here with us, they have got fantastic insights from your pointers, your experiences that you have shared, and your ideas. Now, for a young budding entrepreneur, what is your last two pieces, bit of advice that they definitely must follow if they want to overcome and succeed this hurdle of risks?
Okay. So, as I told you that risk is inevitable. Do not try to avoid it. Mitigate it. And I think you started this session by saying that if you don't take any risk at all, that is the greatest risk. You are right. Because if you don't take risk, you will miss opportunities. Opportunities are the most costliest thing in this world. It's not money, it's not time, opportunity. Right? I mean, if you see KFC, you know what age he started, right? So, and you, on the other side, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, who started at a very early age. Why did they do it at that age? Because their opportunity was at that age. Not because somebody is old or young that he was able to do it. There was an opportunity at that time. And they, a guy at 62 grabbed that opportunity. A guy at 22 landed at that opportunity. So, the biggest take from this is, even in lot of scenario, I would say, like you're joining a startup, not as an entrepreneur, but as an employee, you're joining a startup, and the startup makes you do a lot of things. They make you do X, Y, and Z, and you complain, yeah, why am I doing so many stuff? Instead of complaining, you should be appreciating that opportunity, because if you go in a very proper setup company, they may ask you to do only one thing at a time, which is not good for you. Because even at the early stage, you get to do a lot of things. That's an opportunity to learn. That's an opportunity to perform on the stage. I still tell my team that I'm sure there's a better batsman than Virat Kohli. The only thing that he didn't get an opportunity. Okay, so there are a lot of people there in India who is better than him, but they didn't get the opportunity. And Virat grabbed that opportunity. So, opportunity losing is the biggest risk.
Superb. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ratish, for a fantastic discussion. And my dear friends, till the next episode, I would request you to follow this podcast, share it with people, comment on the podcast below. What do you think about it? If you have any questions, drop in below. And as always, subscribe, share, and stay in touch. Till the next time, this is Dr. Aman Kapoor signing over and out. Thank you. Bye-bye.